You're listening to Connecting Faith, and if you are a regular listener to Faith Radio, you know that every Sunday evening, Kim Cattola hosts a wonderful program called Cradle My Heart. She's also written a book by that title. Kim is a longtime veteran broadcaster and is on with Dr. Bill Meyer every other week. I guess maybe every week, I think every Thursday morning or so. And so we're honored to just have her with us for a few minutes today on Connecting Faith. Kim, one of the reasons we wanted to talk was because this past Sunday was Sanctity of Life Sunday. You have been championing the life movement for many years. What kind of impact does a Sunday like Sanctity of Life Sunday have, do you think?
Well, a lot of people still aren't familiar with it because a lot of churches really haven't jumped on board with it, Neil. But this is something that I recently learned that President Reagan initiated back, I think, in 1984. And he declared January 22nd, Sanctity of Human Life Day, with a presidential proclamation. And so generally, churches will observe the Sunday closest to that day as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, but because it moves around, some churches actually will celebrate any time in the month of January. And the reason for this was to commemorate the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton decisions making abortion legal. So Sanctity of Human Life has been around now since the early 80s. And churches can participate in a number of ways. I know Focus on the Family has some great resources where you can download bulletin inserts, for example, or they have videos that you could use in a worship service. There are places, I think American Pastors Network may have some sermon notes. There are lots and lots of ways that churches can get involved if you're wanting to do that or if you're wanting to make a suggestion to your pastor. There are lots of resources that are out there.
You know, it does recall that significant Supreme Court decision back in 1973. It's pretty staggering when we think of the real numbers, what, 58 million or so babies lost to abortion since 1973. We can't even fathom that kind of impact on a culture, on a nation.
The silence around abortion, Neil, is so strong. And I know when I was called to begin speaking out about it following the Lord's healing of an abortion in my heart and in my past, I was so isolated and so ignorant that I thought I really was one of the only very few people that had an abortion. I didn't know anybody else who had. And many people remain unaware of the fact that a million children die every year in legal abortions. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been 44 years, and it's actually over a million. So that is the best number that we have, that right now, 44 years on, it stands at about 59 million babies that have been aborted since legalization.
There was, I think, a recent Pew Research study about, you know, how people view Roe v. Wade and what they'd like to see changed. Where's the maybe the political will or climate today, would you say?
Well, President-elect Trump is appearing to be following through on his campaign promises for a pro-life administration, particularly when it comes to his Supreme Court nominee. And Kellyanne Conway, scheduled to speak at the March for Life. These are really... No sitting president has ever spoken, by the way. Some have sent video messages. There have been hints that maybe Trump or Mike Pence, vice president-elect, would be at the march this year. But I think that, you know, when it comes to our opinions, Neil, I don't know. I mean, I've often said, and maybe you and I have talked about this, I think abortion remains legal because the middle class wants it as an economic future insurance policy for their daughters. I don't think it's primarily women who are poor who are driving the abortion business in the United States. I think it's people who have values that really stand against it, but who see it as some sort of a necessary evil. And so, you know, as we think about how people feel about Roe v. Wade, our job is to help people understand, you know, that life begins at conception, life begins to have value then, and that, you know, it's wrong, therefore, to take the life of an innocent human being through abortion, and to raise up a generation that knows that, that believes it, and that can stand on it to apply our faith and our ingenuity to come up with better answers. Hopefully to, you know, get people to not have sex outside of marriage. But there are many people who are married who are having abortions as well. And it comes down to, you know, a choice that women feel they need in different circumstances, but one that really is detrimental, of course, to the children involved, but also to the men and women who choose it. And so it's a matter of winning hearts and minds, I think.
You know, I was just thinking the other day, Bill Maier had a guest on talking about having gone through the abortion experience and talking about the value of ultrasounds. You know, that everybody, it's clear to see now that this is a baby in the womb. But it made me wonder, are those that are wrestling with wondering if they should choose abortion, do they actually have ultrasounds? Or is that something that you only get if you are looking forward to actually delivering a child?
Some states mandate that a woman must be shown an ultrasound image before she can have an abortion. Some states have it optional. So it's a state-by-state policy, if you will. But what's interesting to me, Neil, is that women will say, I heard a woman recently say that, you know, I was shown a picture of a fetal development, and that began to educate me. I didn't know that babies have a face and fingers and toes, you know, so early in their development, very, very early on. Now, the new research out of Oxford says the heartbeat can be detected at 16 days past conception. And so, but what they will come back and say is that it didn't become my baby until I saw the ultrasound. And there's a real difference between an abstraction of, oh, that's what a baby looks like, versus, oh my goodness, there's an image of my baby. And so ultrasound, I think, is a real game changer. And there are some studies that bear that out, that as high as 95% of women who see an ultrasound will not abort.
Coming up in a few days, March for Life and activities around the nation on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Say a word, Kim, about, you know, those that maybe haven't been really engaged. Is there one step we could take to say, I want to affirm this more and live out a value of life in my Christian faith?
Well, Neil, as my mentor John Ensor has said, the pro-life cause is really saving innocent lives one woman at a time. And so whether you're supporting or volunteering or working at a pregnancy health center to directly give aid and support to a pregnant woman, or whether you're doing something like activism by attending the March for Life, it's all good and it all counts. And there are lots of other ways to uphold the sanctity of human life. But I think the March for Life is really unique in that it's been it started right after the Roe v. Wade decision. A small group of people said, we want to protest this on behalf of the children. So the March for Life really is an effort to defend the human rights and the civil rights of the unborn, and it is political activism. There are women every year and men who give their testimony of how abortion harmed them, because the march takes you from the one end of the from the Washington Monument to the Supreme Court. So it's that mall in Washington, D.C. And I went for the 40th anniversary, and it was 500,000 people that year. And, you know, it's quite something to realize how many, when you talk about Pew Research, right, to be among people who see the truth and are willing to stand for the truth is very, very energizing and motivating, because I think if we just look at the news or if even just have conversations, and sometimes even with other Christians, it can be very easy to feel as though our opinions aren't mattering or though we're in such a minority that we're not having any impact. I think March for Life is a great way to encourage ourselves, and as well as making a statement to the culture around us.
Kim Cotola is a host of Cradle My Heart Radio, heard each Sunday night here at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. Kim, what's coming up this weekend?
This weekend we're going to speak with Christina Marie Bennett, and she has such an interesting story, Neil. She is very strong in faith and always has been. But she learned when she was in college that she had been targeted for abortion. Her mother, in fact, was at an abortion facility when a janitor spoke to her about her daughter. And she later, in recounting the story, believed that it was a divine intervention. This janitor couldn't be located again when the woman returned to try to have a conversation with her. So Christina's life has been marked for God's purposes, and she's now serving with the pregnancy help movement, but she's also been part of the pro-life movement in the prayer arena with Bound for Life. That's another way that people can serve. Bound for Life is a continuing organization dedicated to praying to end abortion. And so we're going to hear Christina's story and get some ideas about ways that each one of us can be part of the solution.
Kim, I always appreciate the opportunity to connect and invite people to listen in this weekend for Cradle My Heart Radio on the Faith Radio Network Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central. Blessings to you, Kim.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate the opportunity.